Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hard-working, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to continuing coverage from the trial of Corey Richens from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Please proceed.
Good morning, sir. What, sir, is your name?
Cody Wright.
Spelled W-R-I-G-H-T?
Yep.
Did you know Eric Richens?
I did.
How?
Eric was a really good friend of mine and also business partner. Met him in high school. He was an acquaintance of my brother. Met him through him. Became good friends through the hunting world. He was a rancher. I liked hard work. He loved hard work. And we became friends almost immediately through that. That led to a lifelong of events together and fun together and work together. We had a lot of good times. Shortly after I met him, he came to work for a family business as a hot tender. Got to teach him what hot tending's all about and hard work that way, which was fun. We both served LDS missions shortly after that, came home, continued to work together through that family business. In 2010, we decided that it was time to separate from that business and start our own. We started our own masonry company together. And that was another journey in and of itself. It was fun.
Is that masonry company C&E?
Yes, C&E Stone Masonry.
Is that for Cody and Eric?
Yes. And we worked in that masonry company together for almost 12 years, 11 and a half years or so.
How often would you see him when running your company together?
See him couple times a week, probably. We ate lunch fairly often. In the fall, I saw him a lot because we were out in the hills and doing fun stuff, whether it be on the ranch or up in the mountains. We spent a lot of time together in the fall. We spent a lot of lunches together while we worked and things like that, but talked to him pretty much every day on the phone if I didn't see him.
When you talk about spending a lot of time together in the fall, is that hunting?
Yeah, Yeah, we spent a lot of time.
About how many days each fall would the two of you hunt together?
We would spend the end of August and most of September and sometimes October and sometimes November, and sometimes that bled into December, January, and February. But would you quite a few days.
Would you travel together to hunt?
Yes. Yes, we went on different trips as well.
What was Eric's personality?
Eric's feisty. Eric's hardworking. Eric's the life of the party. Eric's funny. Depends where he's at and what he's doing. He can be very fun to be around, very comforting at times, and also he can tell you what you've done wrong and make sure that you knew that it was wrong and that that should have been done differently. And so, good personality.
What was he like personality-wise in business?
Business, he was serious. He took that very serious. That was one of the things that he was very passionate about. He wanted to grow CNE. He wanted to be successful. He wanted to do the best he could with that. He came from a background of hard work and business as well, and saw that and wanted to replicate that from his parents, I'm sure. But he was very serious when it came to business, wanted to make sure that things were done right and wanted to grow that business.
Were you able to interact with Eric and his boys?
Yes.
What are some examples of that?
One that comes to mind was he asked me, I did a lot of baseball growing up. I pitched in particular, and he asked me to work with Carter with some pitching lessons. We went over and worked with Carter and helped him learn how to pitch. That was one that comes to mind.
What was Eric like as a father?
Competitive, dedicated. He wanted to know what my kids were up to so he could tell me what his kids were up to and how well they were doing as well. He wanted his kids to be the best on the team. He wanted them to succeed. He wanted to make sure that I knew that how well they'd done over the weekend and how good they were doing in all their sports.
What was your business relationship in CNE?
We were 50-50 partners. I ran half the business, he ran half the business. Although that wasn't like a perfectly straight line, right? We did paver, stone, tile work. I took care of tile and paver work. Eric took care of the stone work side. So we did have it split to where he took care of his projects, I took care of mine. We overlapped in the bookwork end of things or in the administration side of things. But as far as work went, he had relationships with people that I didn't. And so he would take care of those clients and I'd take care of others.
How many people did CNE employ in early 2022?
Approximately 90.
And about how many projects at any given time was CNE running?
When Eric passed, I obviously stepped into a full-time role in that whole business. I remember counting 47 projects.
What was CNE's business outlook in early 2022?
Good. It was great. Business was good, and business continued to be good and was projecting upward. Each year we'd done a little bit more, and it was definitely on its way up.
Did you and Eric have any plans for the business before he passed?
I'm more conservative than Eric was, and so my plan was always to just be okay with where we were at. Eric's plan was, let's grow this thing and keep going. And I was like, good with where we were at a lot of the time. he definitely was very motivated to continue to do more and more and be better and bigger and better.
Did CNE have an office?
It had my house and a small office at Eric's house. We both had home offices, and so we ran the business from his office and my office at our residential home.
Did Eric use a CNE computer?
Yes.
Did he keep that at his home office?
Yes.
Did you and Eric have a CNE email account?
Yes.
How did that work?
It was a joint email. If you know him or I, you know that we're not technology people. And so one email was enough to handle. So we had one email that we both would look into, that all of our emails would come through. That way we could make sure that we were taking care of each other as well. That seemed to work, and so that's what we did.
Did CNE receive its America First Credit Union bank statements by email?
Yes.
Are you generally familiar with Kay Richens Realty?
Generally familiar.
Did there come a time when CNE assisted Kay Richens Realty?
Yes.
How did that come about?
Eric called me, was distraught. I said that some things had happened in their home that...
Object to hearsay.
Just saying, please rephrase. Or just keep moving.
Your Honor, can we approach?
Sure.
Sir, did there come a time when CNE assisted Corey Richens' business?
Yes.
How did CNE, without saying anything that Eric told you, how did CNE assist Corey Richens' business?
There was a loan that was needed to be had for that business that was asked for, where CNE would provide the funds to fund a project, and CNE did provide those funds.
Was that a loan rather than an investment?
It was a loan.
Was it in extraordinary circumstances that caused CNE to loan Corey Richens' money?
There was a need for that loan. There was a need for that money to make sure that financial things were going to happen for reimbursement.
And was that related to a K. Richens Realty project on Franson Lane?
Yes.
And was that in October of 2020?
Yes, I believe so.
And was that approximately $200,000?
Approximately.
Are you familiar with a buy-sell agreement that you and Eric had in place should anything happen to either of you?
Yes.
Are you familiar with a New York life insurance policy, a set of New York life insurance policies that were associated with that buy-sell agreement?
Yes.
Are you familiar with the series of beneficiary changes to the New York life policy on your life in January of 2022?
I was told those happened.
Did you make those beneficiary changes to your New York life policy in January of 2022?
I did not.
Did you ever make any beneficiary changes to that New York life policy?
No.
Did you ever observe Eric Richens make any beneficiary changes to that New York life policy?
No.
Your Honor, may
I? Of course.
Your Honor, I'm approaching the witness with Exhibit 8-49. It's some handwriting exemplars I think everyone's familiar with, then I need to lay some foundation on. So can you please turn to tab 2? It's 849, it's the exemplars. Sir, did you collect those business and haircut receipts from CNE's records?
Yes.
Can you turn to page tab 3? Did you recover those documents from Integrated Solutions?
Looking at an IRS e-file signature authorization form 8879, is that?
Would you repeat the tab number, Mr. Bloodworth?
Tab 3.
Maybe just take a look to make sure you and the witness are on the same page.
These four pages, tab 3. Sir, did you collect those documents from Integrated Solutions, those four pages in tab 3?
We requested any signatures that they might have to be sent.
And did they then provide those to you?
Yes.
Sir, can you turn to tab 7, please? Did you request and obtain from Big D Construction those documents containing Eric Richin's signature?
Same thing. We asked if they had any signatures and if they could send those over. If they did, provide those for us.
And then, sir, tab 13. Did you request and retrieve those documents from the Ford dealership?
I did not request the ones from Labrum Ford.
Okay. The documents at tabs 2, 3, and 7, did you then provide those to Katie Richens?
Yes.
I'll get that from you. Thank you. Scott, if you can bring up 10-89, please. Defense Exhibit 10-89.
He has it.
Your Honor, I'm sorry, we don't have it.
You should. Mr. Wright, can you see that photograph on your screen?
Okay, I can see it on the app.
Ms. Nestor, can you see it on your screen?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll fix that during a break, Mr. Bloodworth.
Yes, sir, thank you. Your Honor, can the court publish it? Defense admitted this into evidence with mistaking.
Brittany, will you just confirm that that's correct? I don't recall. Yeah, defendants 10-89-1089. Trust and verify. Very good. There you are.
So are you married to Allie Wright?
Yes.
Is Allie Wright in this photograph?
No.
Thank you. Sir, have you ever observed Eric sick or injured?
Yes.
Can you give some examples, please?
Eric had Lyme disease at one point. Saw him when he had COVID. I saw him when he had a cold. I saw him when he had the flu. I saw him when he had back pain. Hunched over from lifting a rock and tweaking his back to where he could barely walk.
How did Eric react to illness or injury?
He's a cowboy. Eric is a go get him. He's not going to sit at home because he's sick. He's not going to stay home because he has COVID. He's not going to not show up because he's feeling under the weather. He's very tough-spirited. Rough-hearted, and as far as not being a wimp goes.
Other than allergy medication, have you ever seen Eric use over-the-counter drugs?
No.
Have you ever seen Eric use prescription drugs?
No.
Have you ever seen Eric use illicit drugs?
I have never seen him use illicit drugs.
Sir, do you recall receiving a phone call from Eric at approximately 2 p.m. on Valentine's Day, 2022?
Yes.
Without saying what Eric said to you, why is it you remember that phone call?
The fear in his voice, the urgency of the situation, the seriousness of what was going on.
Had you ever heard Eric sound like that before?
The only other times I heard that urgency and that fear when he called me telling me that his mother had passed away in the hospital. I also heard that urgency or that fear when he had been rear-ended in an accident. And feared that the person that had hit him had passed away as well, or had hit him hard enough that he was scared of what had just happened.
Thank you, sir. I don't have any further questions.
There's more water in that craft.
Ms. Nestor, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. Good morning, sir. You and I have met before, but just to remind you, I'm Kathy Nestor, and I'm one of Corey's attorneys. So I want to talk to you about C&E a little bit. You mentioned that the... excuse me, Your Honor. You mentioned that the company was growing about the time Eric passed away, right?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes, it was slowly growing, yep.
Okay. And you guys split everything 50-50?
Financially and in the administration part of the business, yes.
So whatever you made in a year, he made in a year?
Yes.
So in 2022, how much did you earn that year?
Objection, out of relevancy.
To your pressure, please. Please restate the same question.
Yes, sir. So, how much did you earn, let's say 2021, the year before, just a few months before Eric died, how much did you clear that year income?
Are you talking personally or in the business or?
Personally.
Personally. I don't have those numbers in front of me. I'm not positive what that number would be.
Was it more than $500,000?
Personally, no.
Okay. Do you know that... do you know what Eric made in 2021?
Mr. Butterworth, go ahead.
Objection, Foundation.
It's a yes or no question, so if you would start there, sir.
Over.
Do you know what Eric made in 2021?
No, not off the top of my head.
All right. So if there's tax returns that have already come in that indicate, that came in through an expert, that indicate he declared around between $700,000 and $900,000, would that be way off base for that year?
Could you pause there for a moment, Mr. Bloodworth?
Objection, Foundation.
Sustained, Ms. Nestor.
All right. Did you, at the time that Eric died, did you project that your company was going to continue to increase in value and resulting in increased income to both of you over the years?
Before he passed, you're
yes.
asking? Yes, we would have projected that our company would continue to grow.
All right. And fair to say that you both would be financially secure as long as that continued to happen?
As long as that continued to happen, yes.
All right. At one point, before Eric passed, you actually had Corey Richens on your payroll, is that right?
Correct.
And she would get monthly income from your company?
Correct.
And do you remember how much she would get?
Ms. Nestor, I apologize for interrupting. Mr. Wright, I need you to answer just a little bit louder.
You bet.
Brittany's listening on the mic, and we're not picking it up. Go ahead.
So you had Corey on the payroll, right?
Yes.
How much was she making every month? Do you remember?
I don't recall.
Right. And then when Eric passed, isn't it true that Corey asked to be removed from the payroll?
I do not believe she asked to be removed from the payroll. We continued to pay her for some time after he passed.
Like a week?
I recall it being longer than a week.
How long do you recall it being?
A couple of months.
Okay. You also had as part of your company a business called Fox Lake Investments, right?
Correct.
And Fox Lakes was separate from CNE, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. Scope.
Sustained.
Okay. Did you at one point engage in house flipping like Corey Richens had through your CNE business?
Through CNE?
Not through CNE, through Fox Lake, through anything.
Yeah.
Objection, yeah. Your Honor. Scope.
Sustained.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the Fransom Lane property. The Fransom Lane property, you just testified that you gave a loan or invested or whatever word you want to call it, about $200,000, right?
Approximately.
And do you know what that money was used for?
The money was used for fixing up that home.
Rehab costs.
Rehab costs.
Right. And you got all of your money back plus interest. Is that correct?
I believe we did, yes.
And do you know how much interest or profit you made on that?
I don't recall.
All right. And you talked about a buy-sell agreement that you guys had, and you just discussed that with Mr. Bloodworth. The buy-sell agreement is basically when partners in a business buy an insurance policy on each other, right?
Correct.
So that if Eric died, you would get money. If you died, Eric would get money, right?
Correct.
And the idea of that policy is that you pay the family member to divest from your business and say, look, here's the $2 million. Please don't be a partner with me. I don't want to be partners with you. I just want to pay you $2 million and you go away and you're done with this business, right?
The idea of it is to do whatever the contract states. So whatever is in that contract would be followed.
And was it your understanding that your buy-sell agreement would allow whichever person survived the other partner to pay that money to the family and then the family would not be involved in the business from there forward?
In our buy-sell agreement, we had it so that the proceeds would go to the family.
Right. And Mr. Bloodworth talked to you about a beneficiary change on a buy-sell, on the buy-sell agreement, right?
Yes.
And that occurred on January 1st of 20...
Your Honor, just foundation. The beneficiary change is on the life insurance policy, not the buy-sell agreement.
I think that's what Ms. Nestor meant.
That's what I meant.
I appreciate the clarification.
Thank you. So the beneficiary to the life insurance that backed up the buy-sell agreement was changed on January 1st of 2022. Is that right?
I was told that.
Okay. And were you in fact told when you learned about this that the policy that was changed was your policy, not Eric's?
So the way that I understood that is the policy is on the person who is still alive, and I don't recall exactly the words that they used to tell me that it had been switched. They told me that, that someone had logged in and switched that beneficiary, and that was...
To your policy.
Yeah, I don't recall the exact words that he used in that moment.
Well, think about it. You remember everything else. You don't remember if it was your policy or Eric's policy that it was changed?
Your Honor, objection, asked an answer.
Your Honor, I'd like him to have a chance to answer it.
Overruled. Please answer Ms. Nestor's question.
So, it's tricky because when you, it's a flip-flop. So I'm trying to think about that in this setting. Give me just 1 second.
It's okay. Take your time.
So what I was told was that there was a change made to the beneficiary, that somebody had gone in and changed that and then switched it back. I do not recall him telling me whose name was changed or anything like that.
So it's possible it was your policy?
There's a possibility.
Okay. And if it was your policy, that means if you died, the beneficiary would be somebody different, not if Eric died. Right?
Correct.
Okay. And then it was changed back, right?
That's what I was told.
So at the time that Eric passed, Corey Richens was not a beneficiary of your policy, right?
Can you say that again?
At the time Eric died, Corey Richens was not a beneficiary of your personal policy, correct?
Not of my policy, no.
And she was not a beneficiary of Eric's policy, correct?
The policy stated that if he were to die, I would pay his family the money.
And that's what you did. You paid Katie Benson and the trust the money.
I did not pay Katie Benson. I paid the trust.
You paid the
trust.
And
I had put it into the court.
Okay.
Which was instructed by attorneys.
Okay. So none of that money went to Corey, right?
I have no clue where that money sits today.
You didn't give it to Corey.
I gave it to the court.
You gave it
as I was instructed through my attorney.
On the behalf of the trust?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about the times that you saw Eric in pain. Mm-hmm. So, fair to say Eric had back pain? He had back problems?
He would pinch a nerve once in a while and have back pain, yes.
And he'd be unable to work?
He would work through that.
Sometimes he'd be unable to work?
He would still probably drive around in his truck, which is considered work. I mean,
okay.
He wasn't out lifting another stone, if that's what work, yeah.
So it might have impacted the type of work he could
do. Yeah.
All right. And he also had knee pain, right?
Yeah, yeah, I believe so.
Mm-hmm. And he even had knee surgery at some point?
I don't recall that.
Okay. And then he had Lyme's disease?
Yes.
And did he complain to you about pain in his muscles from Lyme's disease?
He would tell me how painful that was, correct.
Okay. Now, Mr. Bloodworth asked you if you had ever seen Eric take drugs, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
And Eric, you mentioned you guys went on a mission together, right?
Correct.
So
it's different fair to, times, but it's not together.
It's fair to assume that you subscribe to the faith of the Church of the Latter-day Saints?
I am LDS.
Okay. And as part of that faith, you all subscribe that it is not proper to drink or take drugs, right?
If you are an active following member and you believe that, then that is correct.
And Eric knew that you were of this faith, correct?
Correct.
And he did not share with you when he drank alcohol, did he?
I would hear about it.
He didn't share it with you.
I've never been offered a drink from Eric.
And I'm sure that is a sign of respect to you and your faith, yes?
I believe so. To me as a person.
And he never shared with you that he used marijuana gummies?
He himself? No, he never told me.
Okay. Did you ever see him do that around you?
No.
Okay. And again, he knew that you would not approve of that, right? Under your faith.
Eric would be okay telling me some of those things. He would tell me, but in the light that I am his good friend, that he would tell me things, right? But not be proud of that by any means.
So he did share with you that he used drugs?
No.
Objection, Your Honor. This line of question calls for hearsay. So.
Well,
sustained. Just ask your next question.
Did you just testify that he did tell you about things? He just wasn't proud of it?
Ms. Nestor.
Yes, sir.
Sustained. If you'd ask a different question, please.
So when Mr. Bloodworth asked you the question if you had ever seen Eric use drugs, your answer was no, correct?
Correct.
But you have knowledge that he did.
People have told me that.
Okay. I'll leave it.
Here's.
It's out. What do you want me to do now, Mr. Bloodworth?
It is out. What have people told you?
You can follow up. Okay, Ms. Nestor, please keep her moving.
You mentioned that you and Eric used to go hunting together. Is that right?
Yes.
At some point, did you provide information to hunting law enforcement officials about violations that Eric had done when he was hunting?
Yes.
And was he placed in jail for that?
Yes.
And you provided that information and testimony against him?
No.
Okay. But you told the police that he did what they thought he did, right?
I was in, I was brought in and asked questions that I answered to.
And those questions incriminated Eric?
Yes.
Okay.
Some of them.
And you and Eric kind of had a falling out after that, is that fair?
Falling out in what sense?
You stopped going on vacations together with your families?
We didn't go on vacation with our families very often as it was. So I would say that that was not something that immediately happened after that.
And your relationship became more tense, more difficult between the two of you?
Oh, yeah, he didn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah, he was upset about that.
So I want to talk about the Valentine's Day call that you had with Eric. To your knowledge, did Eric work that day?
Again, work is everywhere we go. We have our cell phone and we are working.
Did you know whether he worked that day?
I would assume that he had worked that day, having received a phone call or two or done some sort of management style of work.
If I were to show you photographs of projects that he visited that morning, would you be able to recognize the project by looking at the house?
I may be able to recognize the project, but I'd have no clue if he showed up there or not, or if he would had worked there that day.
Okay, can we put up for the witness State's Exhibit 3-13D? All right.
Your Honor, I'm sorry. We still don't have it.
You're welcome to use
it. Look at ours.
Okay, do you see that photograph in front of you?
Yes.
All right. And that is a photograph, and
pause for one moment, Ms. Nestor. Mr. Bloodworth.
Objection, Your Honor, foundation.
He hasn't even let me get it out of my mouth yet, Judge.
Are you about to lay some foundation?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so if you lay it before you represent what it is.
I will.
Thank you.
Do you recognize what that home is, the aerial view? Do you know whose home that is?
Yes.
Whose home is that?
Eric's.
Okay. And can you go to the next photograph, Katie? Do you recognize that overhead view of a home?
I don't.
So you don't know if that's one of the homes Eric was working on or one of his projects at the time?
Doesn't look familiar to me.
Okay, can you go to the next one, Katie? What about this very large home? Do you recognize that one?
I don't.
You don't know if you guys were doing a project on that house?
I don't.
Okay, you can take it down. On the day that you spoke to Eric Richens on Valentine's Day, he didn't, you weren't aware that he went to a doctor that day? Did you ever know of him going to the doctor, taking time off?
He told me that he had gone with Carter that morning.
To get allergy shots?
Something with allergies.
Okay. But after you spoke to him, were you ever aware that he went to a doctor to follow up on how he felt that day?
Not objection. Calls, I think, for hearsay. There's no foundation otherwise.
If he had personal knowledge, if Eric took time off to go to the doctor.
Please approach.
Did you give Eric a ride to the doctor that day?
No.
Did you give Eric a ride to the hospital that day?
No.
Did you go visit him in a hospital that day?
I did not.
Okay. Did he make any calls to you where you could hear in the background there was hospital noises or ambulances or anything like that?
No.
Did he come to work the next day?
Yes. He would have been working.
All right, the day that Eric died, on March the, well, the day before he died, the 3rd, you guys went to lunch that day, didn't you?
Yes.
And you went to lunch at the Mirror Lake Cafe?
I believe that's where it was, yes.
And you kind of spent part of the day with him that day, did you? Didn't you?
Just that, at that lunch appointment.
All right. And then you got notice that he had passed, correct?
The next morning.
Right. And did you send Becky Lloyd to Eric's house to pick up all of his computers?
At a certain point, yes. I don't remember when, but yes, she went and picked the computer up.
And was that within a day or two of his death?
Yes, it would have been within a couple of days.
And you didn't clear that with any law enforcement?
Didn't, nope.
So you picked up his computer, or Becky picked up his computer and brought it into y'all's custody, right?
Yeah, it was a CNE-owned computer that we needed the company stuff from.
And did you get into the computer? Did you open it? Did you look for documents in it?
I don't know how to turn a computer on half the time.
Okay. All right, what about Miss Becky? Did she go into the computer?
Your Honor, objection here says go.
Do you know whether Becky went into the...
Sustained, if you could ask.
I will.
Non-hearsay inducing question.
Did you see Becky go into the computer at all?
I did not see Becky.
Okay. And then at some point, a private investigator came to talk to you about that computer, correct?
Correct.
And that would be Mr. Todd Gabler?
Correct.
And Todd worked for the Richens family or the trust?
I don't know who he worked for, but I assume that's correct.
And you told him that Becky had the computer?
Correct.
And you sent him to get it from Becky?
I don't remember sending him.
Do you authorize Becky to give it to him?
We would have in that instance, yes.
Okay. And in all that time, no law enforcement had gotten the computer first?
Correct.
All right. And then isn't it true that shortly after Eric died, you also sent somebody to pick up his work truck?
Correct.
And explain to me what the work truck looked like.
Brown Ford 550 flatbed truck.
And I noticed you said earlier that work a lot of times involved driving around in that truck, right?
Correct.
So he spent a lot of time in that truck.
He did.
And the truck was parked generally in the garage in the back of his house. Is that fair?
I don't know where he parked it.
But you sent someone named, what was the person's name that you sent to go get the truck?
I don't recall who I sent.
Okay. Somebody named Victor?
I don't recall.
Okay. And he went to pick the truck up and took it out of the garage, right?
But if it was in the garage, then he would have taken it out of the garage. I don't know where it was parked.
Okay. And if the police testified that that truck was not searched when Mr. Richens died, to your knowledge, had anybody sought your permission to search it at all prior to you picking it up?
No.
Okay. And then you took it into your custody?
Yes.
And you kept that truck?
Yes.
You still have it?
Yes.
All right. He also drove a red truck, is that right? But like a personal truck?
Yes.
And did the C&E own the red truck?
Yes.
All right. And at some point, you found out that the red truck was being serviced. Is that right?
Yes.
How'd you find that out?
The Ford dealership called me and told me that it was ready to be picked up.
Right. And you knew that that truck was being driven by Corey Richens at the time?
It should not have been being driven at all.
Okay, but she had custody of it.
It was sitting at her house with instruction that it shouldn't be driven.
Okay. And when you found out...
knowledge that it shouldn't be driven.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought you were done. You found out the truck was ready, and you went and picked it up, right?
We went and got it, yes, because it had been driven.
You didn't talk to Corey about it?
No.
You didn't discuss it with her at all?
No.
You just took it from the dealership?
It is a C&E-owned vehicle. There is ramifications for an accident for somebody that's not working with C&E.
Okay.
And so it felt that it would be proper to make sure that the truck wasn't being driven.
Where's the truck now?
Somebody's yard or house, or I don't know exactly where it's at.
Did you give it to Katie?
I did.
You gave it to her for free?
I did not give it to her, no.
You sold it to
her?
It
is owned by C&E.
So did C&E sell the truck to Katie, or did they just give it to her?
No, it's sitting at their home or their yard or their place.
So they had it. So the people who had access to the truck before any law enforcement ever looked at it were you, Katie, anyone in Katie's family, anyone at the dealership. Is that all right?
Say that again.
The people who had access to that red truck before there was any search executed were you, Katie, anyone in Katie's family, and anyone at C&E that picked it up?
Jackson Foundation.
Overall, you can go ahead.
Many people had access to that truck. If access is...
Okay.
They would have to be given the key and given permission to drive it.
So when Eric passed... and his buy-sell agreement was executed, and you gave the money to the court for the trust, then the company 100% became yours, correct?
Correct.
And is it fair to say that your personal net worth basically doubled at that point?
You could say that.
Okay. since Eric's death, you've remained close with his family. Is that fair?
Yes.
And you've actually, you and your wife have accompanied Eric's family to court and sat with them during court hearings?
Yeah.
Court's indulgence for just one question I did forget. The New York Life, that was who had your insurance for your buy-sell, correct?
Correct.
Were you aware of whether Corey and Eric had personal New York Life policies as well?
I don't know the answer.
Okay, that's fine. Court's indulgence for just 1 minute, Your Honor.
Of course.
Only if you know, but were you aware, was CNE paying for a personal life insurance policy for Eric through a company called Auto Owners or Integrated Insurance Solutions?
I'm not aware.
Okay, that's fine. You mentioned that Eric loved hunting, right? And after you gave your testimony to the Department of Wildlife and Natural Resources, Eric couldn't hunt for a while in the United States. Is that right?
Correct.
But he still could hunt in Mexico.
Correct.
And are you aware that shortly before his death, he went hunting in Mexico?
I am.
Do you know when?
It would have been in February sometime, I believe.
All right. And how often did he hunt in Mexico? Are you aware?
Sorry, what?
How often did Eric go hunting in Mexico?
He went down there for a trip, so I would assume he was hunting every day that he was there.
Okay. Are you aware of more than one time that he went to Mexico to go hunting?
Yes.
Were you aware of the more than five times?
I couldn't say. I don't remember.
Did you ever go with him to Mexico?
Could I?
Did you?
Did I? No.
Do you know where in Mexico Eric went hunting?
A general area. I don't know exactly where.
It's a general area.
Typically, the hunting takes place in somewhere around Sonora.
Around Sonora.
Somewhere.
Okay. I think that's all I have. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Mr. Blood.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, from your perspective, was the loan to K. Richens Realty in connection with the Franson Lane property out of necessity?
Yes.
You testified that generally people had told you that Eric did drugs. I want to be specific. Did people generally tell you that Eric would use THC edibles?
Object to hearsay.
You opened the door, overruled me.
Can you repeat that?
Did people tell you that Eric would use THC edibles?
People would tell me that, yes.
Did anyone ever tell you that Eric Richens used illicit street drugs?
No.
You testified that you provided some inculpatory information to DNR officers in connection with their investigation of Eric. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Why did you provide them with information?
Eric was being investigated for a wildlife incident. Somebody else had turned him in, and they brought me in to answer some questions that they had.
And did the incident involve not having a tag and killing an elk?
Yes.
Why did you provide incriminating evidence as opposed to covering for Eric?
Eric knew what he had done wasn't right, and he was okay to be a big boy and take care of his own stuff. And I was okay to be honest and tell them the truth and allow him to do what he needed to do on his end.
Is that hard for you to do?
It was extremely hard. I knew what those ramifications were going to be.
But did you do it because it was the right thing to do?
I did.
Does March the 7th, 2022 sound like about the right day when you dispatched somebody to pick up the brown truck from Eric's residence?
Sounds right.
Why have you sat with Eric Richens' family at various court proceedings?
Object to relevance, Your Honor.
It's within the scope of your cross. Overruled?
I love the Richens. I loved Eric. He was one of my best friends. And I want to be a support where I can.
Thank you.
Can we approach, Your Honor?
Of course. Mr. Wright, thank you for your patience. If you'd take the stand for him. If you'd like a glass of water, you can pour yourself one. You are still under oath. Ms. Nestor has a few extra questions for you, and then we'll see where we go from there. All right.
May it please the court?
Please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Welcome back. So we want to just dig in a little bit to the question that you were asked on redirect when Mr. Bloodworth asked you if anyone had ever told you that Eric used illicit drugs. And I believe you said illicit street drugs. Does that sound right? Or do you recall?
Did he say illicit street drugs? Is that what you're asking?
What was your understanding of the question that he asked you at the very end about whether you'd ever heard about Eric using drugs?
Illicit street drugs.
Right. What was your understanding of that question?
If anyone had ever told me about him using an illicit street drug.
Okay.
Now, I'm not in the drug world. I have no clue what most drugs are categorized as. So...
Did you talk to anyone outside in the hallway while you were waiting?
I did not.
Okay, just checking. Okay. So at the preliminary hearing, we asked you some questions about whether you were aware that Eric used pain pills in high school. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And are you aware of that?
I was told that that had happened.
All right. And were you ever told about where he got those pain pills?
I have no idea where he got those pain pills from.
So when Mr. Bloodworth asked you earlier today if you were ever aware of Mr. Richens using prescription drugs, you said no.
Your Honor, that's not the question I asked.
Pause, Mr. Wright. If you would just object to foundation and restate the question for me.
Your Honor, objection, foundation.
Let me ask you this way.
Sustained. Go ahead.
Was it your understanding in high school when you had this knowledge that Mr. Richens was using these drugs illicitly? In other words, not with the prescription of a pharmacist?
I need you to be more precise in that question. Which drugs are you referring to?
The pain pills, sorry.
And if you would re-ask it, please.
Was it your understanding in high school when you knew about this that Mr. Richens was using his own prescription for pain pills or someone else's?
I learned about this later on in life, not in high school.
Okay, and what did you learn?
And I learned that he had taken pain pills in high school. That's what I had been told.
Without a prescription?
I didn't get asked whether it was a prescription or not. I don't know.
All right. And then I think you said in the prelim that you thought they were called Red Devils. Is that right?
That's what I was told.
And was it your understanding that Red Devils were an illicit street drug?
I don't know what an illicit street drug entails, but I assumed that the Red Devils were being abused, as that's what high school kids were doing.
So people were doing that in your school?
I heard that, yes.
And did you know what Red Devils...
Later on in life.
What did you know what Red Devils were?
I learned later on what those were, yes.
What are those?
I believe it's Sudafed.
Oh, it's Sudafed?
I think. I'm not a drug person. I'm sorry.
Okay. Could be pseudoephedrine, maybe.
I have no idea.
Okay.
But that's what I think it is Sudafed being abused.
Okay. So when you testified at the preliminary hearing that you were aware in high school that Eric, or you became aware later that in high school Eric abused Red Devils and pain pills, do you still stand by that today?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Your Honor, do you need more than that?
I understand Mr. Wright's testimony on the record.
Okay. Okay. Let me just think for one second if there's anything else. When you answered Mr. Bloodworth's question in front of the jury that you... that you had not heard from anyone that Eric used illicit street drugs, that's except for what you heard about in high school?
Objection, Your Honor. The foundation.
I can ask him what his intention of his answer was, Your Honor. Did you intend to carve that out?
That's a fair question.
Can you restate that? I'm sorry.
Did you intend to carve out from that answer what you knew about high school?
What answer? Sorry.
From the answer that Mr. Bloodworth asked you in front of the jury, if anyone had ever told you or if you'd ever heard that Eric used illicit street drugs, did you intend to not include what you knew in high school? Are you carving that out?
If I said that I was in high school, what I've been told about Eric is throughout my life. I don't know if it was exactly in high school. I don't know if it was in my early 20s or now. What I've been told over the years is that he had used those in high school, and that's what I know.
All right. And so if I were to ask you the question again that Mr. Bloodworth asked you, has anyone ever told you that Eric used illicit street drugs? And you included all the knowledge you have all the way back through what he did in high school. What would your answer be now?
I don't know what illicit street drugs entail.
Okay.
I've been told of some drugs that he used. And that's what I would testify to, is that I know that he used some drugs, form of drugs. I don't know what they are exactly. I don't know if they're illicit street drugs or not. But that he had used drugs at some point.
That's it, Your Honor.
Mr. Bloodworth, anything else for Mr. Wright at this point in terms of voir dire?
Sir, is the only drug that you've been told he used in high school the Red Devils?
In high school, yes.
You haven't heard of him using any other drug in high school other than marijuana? Let's just accept marijuana from this whole discussion, okay?
Yeah. So... in high school, I was told that people were using Red Devils. I had heard that Eric had popped pills.
Okay. And is your understanding was the pills that he popped were the Red Devils, or was it Red Devils and something else?
Understanding that a Red Devil is a pill, he popped pills, and I don't really know much more than that.
Okay.
I don't know what pills they were popping or anything to that extent.
Can I just follow up on that, Your Honor? So you mentioned... in high school, like maybe there was after high school as well. Did I misread what you just said?
I have learned of these things through people over the years. I don't know this exact times and days that people have told me this knowledge. Eric popped pills in high school is what I've been told.
Beyond high school, do you have any knowledge if he popped pills?
I don't have any sure knowledge that he popped pills after high school.
Not sure knowledge, but have people told you that?
I have knowledge that he took THC gummies.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to make sure because I heard that clarification, and I wanted to make sure we followed all the way through with it.
Great.
As far as you sit here today, other than what you heard about what he did in high school and other than knowing about the THC gummies, have you heard from any other person that Eric used drugs in his lifetime?
No.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify that.
I need to make you take a walk again.
Okay.
Please don't speak to anybody in the lobby. Ms. Nestor, any further argument?
Well, Your Honor, I mean, I think that this witness has now clarified that if he were to answer the question now, he would include that he was aware Eric popped pills in high school. He also heard that people in his high school were doing Red Devils. He said he assumed that's what Eric was doing, but he doesn't know, but he has knowledge that Eric was popping pills. This whole case is about a pill addiction. This whole case is about whether or not Eric Richens voluntarily ingested that or if he was given it by his wife. This is a critical piece of the defense. He's been allowed to make a statement in front of the jury that we have now found out through voir dire is not 100% accurate on one of the core issues in this case. I am only asking to impeach him. I can limit it to what he said in the prelim. We can go farther if you want us to, or we can limit it to what he said in the prelim. I'll do it either way. But I think to deny Ms. Richens the right to impeach him on something this critical to the defense and the prosecution, when the door was absolutely opened by the prosecution, would be reversible error, and we're asking that the court allow us to do that now.
Mr. Glover.
Your Honor, this state disagrees with all of that, including the veracity of some of that. The state reverts back to what we had briefed in motions hearing, by the way, that any relevancy to what happened in high school has decayed to zero 40 or 20 plus years later. The testimony at issue is Mr. Wright's response to the question of, did anyone ever tell you that Eric Richens used illicit street drugs, to which he responded, no. Nothing in his voir dire impeaches that testimony. Bringing in the preliminary hearing transcript or any further questioning on this, preliminary hearing transcript or any further questioning on this is inadmissible.
All right. The case has to be tried based upon admissible evidence. And on both sides of the V, there are pieces of evidence that either the state or the defense has sought to admit that the court has ruled are not admissible. I'm required to apply the rules of evidence. We instruct the jury that the rules of evidence have developed over hundreds of years to make sure that trials are tried in a fair and impartial way. this issue developed in a way where defense counsel asked a question that elicited hearsay testimony regarding what Mr. Wright had heard about Mr. Richens' prior drug use generally. Whether or not that's what the defendant intended, that's what happened. So then, on redirect, the state asked two very specific questions to characterize that volunteering of hearsay by Mr. Wright. Whether they'd heard that Mr. Richens had used THC products, and whether he had ever heard that Mr. Wright used illicit street drugs. Nothing in his prior preliminary hearing testimony or during his voir dire outside the presence of the jury on the stand is admissible evidence contrary to his sworn testimony on the stand in front of the jury. His prior reference to Red Devils, he's now clarified as Sudafed, which is not pain pills to begin with. Moreover, he doesn't have any admissible testimony that Eric Richens used illicit drugs of any kind. This is hearsay. It is speculation. It's not admissible.
Your Honor, may I just make a record?
Of course.
Your Honor, it's our position that, first of all, when I asked the question, it was not objected to by the state. Second of all, I'd like to make the record that this would be for purposes of impeachment. This, to deny us this opportunity, is a violation of Crawford. It is a violation of our Sixth Amendment right to cross-examine. It is a violation of our due process right to a fair trial. We would be able to call, in our case, an expert who would testify that Red Devils were, in fact, PCP. In that period of time, they were not Sudafed. The DEA has a pamphlet on that. We're being denied that option. We're being denied the ability to attack the credibility of someone who has changed. Respectfully, we disagree with Your Honor's position on this. We think he absolutely changed his testimony, and we're being prohibited the right to impeach him on the fact he changed his testimony. And I believe that the question I would ask him, if I were allowed to go forward, would be, did you learn that Eric popped pills in high school? And that would impeach what he said to Mr. Bloodworth, unrebutted and not allowed to be rebutted by me, when we know that I can rebut it. And we on our strongest way possible, we object to this. We would like a continuing objection. We move to strike all of Cody Wright's testimony. All of the issues
Wait
that
a
Mr.
Whoa. You lost me
on
there.
On redirect. The redirect testimony.
Which piece?
Where he answered the question that I'm not now being allowed to impeach him on. We're asking to strike it at the very minimum. All of the things that Mr. Bloodworth just brought up all go to weight, not admissibility. And
what is the non-hearsay route for this witness to testify regarding what he heard, if it's coming in for the truth of the matter asserted?
It's not. It's coming in to impeach that once the court allowed him to answer that question with hearsay, to rebut the hearsay that we elicited unintentionally.
What's the evidence that he heard prior to today, testifying today, that Eric Richens used illicit street drugs?
He just testified to it on the stand.
That is not true.
Okay, well, we agree to disagree on that, Your Honor.
Have you disclosed that expert that would provide a non-speculative basis that Red Devils are an illicit street drug?
We have disclosed that expert. His name is Mr. Kearney. He is on our list. He's been available. We did not know the Red Devil stuff was coming in until 10 minutes ago. Because
it's
we were
not
told...
coming in.
Well, okay. Well, that's obvious then. I mean, we did the best we could. We gave him our drug expert that as soon as the Red Devils comes in, we can... let them talk to him about that, because we sure would go into that with our expert, that we're now being denied the ability to do that. There is a key question here, Your Honor. If Eric Richens had a drug problem, and if he did, Ms. Richens is innocent, and we are being prohibited from going into that with the one person who knows. And I just think that the veracity of this witness on this topic cannot be underestimated for purposes of the defense. I know you disagree with us. I believe
veracity.
I've made my record. Yes. He's changed his story. He's now saying he's never heard that Eric used drugs, when he knows
in the prelim that he did. And I just think this is just a huge, huge impediment to us to put on a fair trial in this case. And I believe I've made my record. I can't think of anything else I need to say on the record. Thank you for letting me make a proffer.
Okay. Are you asking me to strike Mr. Wright's answer that he's never heard that Eric used Alyssa's street truck?
Yes.
On which basis? On what basis?
On the fact I'm not allowed to impeach him on it, and we all know it's not a correct answer.
You certainly can impeach him on it if you have any evidence that it's impeachable.
No, any other way to show it to the court other than what we've already done.
Okay.
Can...
I want to be clear. There's just no evidence that Cody Wright believes that Red Devils are illicit street drugs.
But he separated the Red Devils from the popping pills. He separated that.
No, respect, he didn't.
Okay, well, I think the transcript will reflect it.
All right. Let me pause. Anything further?
I have nothing further to add, Your Honor.
Mr. Bloodworth, a direct question. I need to exercise a measure of humility here.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Your Honor, the state is comfortable with the court's ruling and the record.
Okay. Very good. Court stands on its ruling. Anything else before we invite Mr. Wright back in and the jury? Mr. Bloodworth?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Nestor?
Can't remember. Did we?
I'm not persuaded that you've provided a basis to strike Mr. Wright's statement that he's never been told that Eric Richens used illicit street drugs.
I understand your ruling. I just can't remember how he ended it with the witness because so much has happened. So
I think you had the witness on recross.
Oh, but I approached before I redirect.
Right.
Okay, thank you for helping me remember.
Do you have any recross questions within
can
the scope of redirect?
Can you give me just 1 minute?
Of course.
Refresh my recollection, because a lot has gone under the bridge, and I just had to get back to where we were. I think I do have a quick recross on within the scope of his redirect.
Very good. If we could invite the jury back in, please. Please have a seat as you come in. All right, folks, have a seat. Mr. Wright, if you would take the stand again, I'd appreciate it. Mr. Wright, you're still under oath. Ms. Nestor, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. We're almost done. You mentioned just now to Mr. Bloodworth, or a few minutes ago, it's been a minute now, that you were aware that Eric used THC gummies, right?
I heard that he did that, yes.
Okay. Do you have any personal knowledge as to how often he would use THC gummies?
No idea.
Do you know why he used them?
I couldn't tell you that. I don't know why he would have used them.
And do you have any personal knowledge about where he obtained his gummies from?
Zero.
Okay. So that was just a part of his life he didn't share with you?
Correct.
And on the truck, when you sent whoever, I know you said you don't remember, Mr. Bloodworth just talked to you about a date. The work truck, not the red one, but the work truck, you guys got that just within a day or two after he passed, correct?
The work truck was picked up within a few days.
Okay. And then the truck that you took from the dealership was about a month later.
Or so, yeah. Okay. Months later.
I just wanted to make that clarification. Thank you. That's all I have. We tender the witness, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. Are we releasing this witness, counsel?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Sir, you are free to go. You are released from the subpoena. You can talk to anybody you'd like.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
More continuous coverage from the trial of Corey Richens from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.